Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. to midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Luyu, and Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft of Sullen Art with Richard and Neutron and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dex. Friday, come fill my eyes with open poetry. And every other Saturday, join Grey Eyes howling at the moon in the Canadian wild as he brings you bad company. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Monday through Saturday mornings. Join Mistress Frost and Mr. M tonight for the Black Lace Diaries. Tuesday, take a walk on the wild side. Wednesday, join Neutron as the After Midnight Bomber. Fridays, a split between Crawling Into the Darkness with Pam and Break On Through. And Saturday, join Aphasiana and Babylon as they teach you the fine art of art sinner, art saint. Check out the contests and props for all of our shows, call and read your poems, and hang for the fun. And if you can do SoundClouds, they are more than welcome too, because we'd like to hear your voices. And tonight we're kicking off Christmas week. How you doing, Pam?
I am doing great. I've been looking forward to this show. I think it was a great idea to, run a pre-writes contest and kind of make it just the whole idea of open Christmas music inspired, whatever people want to do with their favorite Christmas song. And I have to say, you got a really great lineup of poetry tonight.
Yes, we've got 4 rollovers from last week's Tom Petty, plus 30.
Yep.
We're not going to get to everything tonight, so don't worry about it. I planned it this way because we're bookending Christmas. We're starting the week, and we're going to finish on the back end with the day after Christmas, second part of this show. So if you don't hear it tonight, it will be on next Sunday.
Absolutely, and I think that was a great plan because, all Christmas week, people are very busy, and the day after Christmas, not many people want to spend time trying to get a poem in. So it's good to have one contest that covers both shows. And
That was the idea. I figured it was going to be a trying week, and there was no point in trying to make everybody check everything out that's going on this week and absolutely try and drop something for everything. It's easier getting pick your own favorite song, give us a parody, give us your thoughts, give us what you like about it.
Absolutely, yeah, and I like that. And we do have some fun parodies tonight and some just really clever writes all the way through. And now, how about you? Do you have a favorite Christmas song, Rex?
Well, I drew on Chuck Berry for tonight. I thought that would be a great opener. But there's a ton of Christmas songs to we've got Emerson, Lake and Palmer's got one out, the Beatles. There are plenty of other bands that did. I even like the rendition with Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga, Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's a fun one. I like that one. I like Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. I like a lot of those ones that came out in the 50s, 60s. I even like some of the older ones Fred Astaire, and who's really well known? I can't remember. Who is it that's really well known? Bing Crosby. Bing Crosby. Bing. That's what I said. I said Bing. I like his music. I like some of the stuff that group Pentatonix does. I like a lot of those rock and roll ones, but I also like some of the old-fashioned, hymn-style ones. I like the song Mary, Did You Know? I find that one to be very beautiful, and though it's a religious song, I find that, I just feel like it has an important message, because it keeps asking the question, Mary, did you know your baby boy would be a king? And then it keeps asking questions like that, and I think it works well because, to me, it asks those kind of questions that all of us come across. Like, did we know that life was going to turn out how it did? So just a little tangent there, but not tangent. I don't know what that was. Just me talking.
We got anybody on the Hooter?
Let's find out, because Rex wants to be saved from just talking to me. Nope. Sorry. You're stuck just talking to me.
Well, I figured that out. All right. Since the dog and bone is empty, I guess we can start with the 4 Tom Petty pieces we got hanging on the board.
That was the plan. All right. So, up first, we have Don't Come in My Yard No More by Damn It Dave. And Rex, go ahead.
Yeah, I should have seen that one coming. Don't Come in My Yard No More, parody by Damn It Dave. Kids, don't come in my yard no more. Don't come in my yard no more. I got the ball you're looking for. Hey! Don't come in my yard no more. I'll call the cops. Stop. I'll call the cops. Stop. I'll call the cops. ain't waiting any longer. I'll call the cops. I'd chase you if I was stronger. Don't come in my yard no more. 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 I won't tell you anymore. You doorbell ditch my door. Got the bike you're looking for. Kids, don't come in my yard no more. I've given up. Stop. I've given up. Stop. I've given up. Stop. You tangle my emotions. I've given up. Honey, please admit it's over. Hey, don't come in my yard no more. Don't come in my yard no more. Don't come in my yard no more. Come in my yard no more. Stop playing on my grass. Don't come in my yard no more. I will shoot your scrawny ass. Don't come in my yard no more. Got the toys you're looking for. Kids, don't come in my yard no more. Hey, it has. Please don't come in my yard no more. Got the frisbee you're looking for. Ow, ow. Kids, don't come in my yard no more. And boom. Parody.
That was awesome, Rex. Great read.
Yeah, except for the tune I got, since I've got all the other Christmas bits popping in my head as well.
Right. Well, I know what you mean, because I was re-listening to some Christmas songs. So yeah, it was. But you know, this definitely was a spot-on parody. He did really great with this, and I'm gonna put being that grumpy old person that steals kids' toys when they get left in her yard as one of my life goals. Yeah, I really enjoyed this all the way through. And I especially like, I won't tell you anymore, you doorbell ditch my door, got the bike you're looking for, kids, don't come in my yard no more. And also, I of course, stop playing on my grass, don't come in my yard no more, I will shoot your scrawny ass. You know, I just really, I enjoy dark, twisted humors, and I enjoy a spot-on parody. I mean, I know there's some people like me who they attempt to do parodies, and it's kind of like, eh, close enough, and still enjoyable. But when, you know, it just works perfectly with the original flow of the song and has great humor to it, that's my absolute favorite. So very well done.
Well, absolutely. Dave does a great job with his parodies. He really does a great job with his parodies. But he did note in his AN, I pictured Tom as an old man singing this neighborhood kids who get on his nerves. Yeah, I got the feeling of an old codger having enough with the kids, the setting the bag on fire in the front stoop, ringing the doorbell. Yeah, stamp that damn thing out. No. and the thought with that ostrich scorny ass, yeah, I got me some rock salt, buck salt for your buns. Come on back. I'll have me some fun. So, yeah, the old codger thought comes through with this one really well.
Absolutely. It sure does. Great comment, Rex. And before we move on to the next one, I'd like to welcome area code 410. You're on the air. Who are we speaking to?
This is Martha Gettle.
Hey,
hey Martha.
Glad
Hi.
You could join us. How's it going?
Going pretty good.
Wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. All right. And I'll go grab the next poem. All right. Up next we have I Was a Good Girl by Gypsy Lady 13. And it goes like this. I was once that good girl Tom Petty sang about. I loved all those things he said good girls loved. But what Tom didn't know is I loved those bad boys all the more. Those blue jean, blue eyed devils lurking in the shadows were what sent me free falling into the nothing and took me so far out of this world. Some of them may have loved me. Most of them probably didn't. But it didn't matter. I was good either way, and they'd break down and give me right in. I never learned to fly without any wings and never solved life's great mystery, although I spent most of my time trying to run down those things. I've been stuck right here between my memories and dreams. An American girl that believes in promises and knows heaven is behind the cloudy skies, but knows she'll never hold those dreams, and all of those promises are just lie. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Martha, why don't we start with you? What did you think?
I thought it was really good. It was kind of a surprise at the end, but it was really interesting, and I was enjoying it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Martha. And you got to read it. What about you?
I really liked this. I liked how it's a tribute to Tom Petty in a way, and how she uses some of his different song titles, like American Girl and Free Falling, and and Breakdown, and so it's just really clever that way. But I like how it also delves into the emotional aspect of how easy it is to be attracted to the bad boys, especially when we're younger. And I think this is just a wonderful write all the way through. But what I see in the last couple stanzas is the idea of a maturity that happens where you realize that you're stuck at that point between memories and dreams, and you realize that, you know, all those promises that were made were just simply lies, and that, you know, dreams don't always come true. There's this real sense of melancholiness to it, but almost this kind of also a sense of acceptance, you know. So just absolutely a wonderful write and very well done.
Yeah, I can walk along with that, acceptance. That second stanza sits pretty well. Those blue jean, blue-eyed devils lurking in the shadows were what sent me free-falling into nothing and took me so far out of this world. Ah, yes. Some things you just don't give up, and they just keep biting you in the butt. But, yeah, you did hit on the note on the back end, maybe understanding and owning up to that, but not chastising oneself, because you know what? You've got to accept that which you bought into and played along with, even though you knew some of them weren't even half the good boys with their bad boy images that you thought they might have been.
Right.
Actually, Ben, just
exactly. Exactly. Well said there, Rex. I tell you, though, I can't see bad boys without listening to the song Bad Boys, Bad Boys, What You Gonna Do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Yeah, that's when they start singing Who Let the Dogs Out?
Who Let the Dogs Out? Oh, and I'd like to welcome Phil to the show. Welcome, Gene. Glad you could join us.
Hello, hello, hello.
You. Gene. No, no. What's up?
I'm going to harass you guys for the night.
Oh, all right.
All right. I know. You came to keep Rex in line because he's a troublemaker.
I am too sometimes. Hey, Martha, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Very good, very good. Oh, my, my, my. The week before Christmas and all through the house. Not a creature was stirring.
All the creatures were stirring, even the grouse.
Even the grouse. That was there. Present and accounted for. I've been called worse. Yep. So what's happening? Y'all getting ready for Santa Claus?
We got a couple more carryovers from Tom Petty, and then we'll be going into Christmas rites, but
I hope you brought your pipes with you.
Very cool.
We're all going to be doing a lot of singing tonight.
I mean to do that.
Yeah.
People
I have to sing, you know. life is good.
Very good. Can't be asked for more than that.
Well, yeah, yep, exactly. I had cookies for dessert, and life doesn't get much better than having cookies for dessert, so.
Well, only if you have cookies for dinner.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But my dinner was almost as good as cookies.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
All right. So, what do you say, Rex?
Rainbow cookies from Wisconsin? Rainbow, are reindeer cookies from Wisconsin? Aren't they a bit chewy, full of hay?
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I try to stay away from the reindeer cookies.
Yeah,
and don't you use them for cookie tossing?
Yeah, for just like cow patties. Let them get all nice and frozen and then toss them.
Oh my God.
About a free floating frisbee.
Oh, man.
That come up was in Wisconsin. That's all I'm going to say.
Right?
Yes, come on up to Wisconsin. We got plenty of cheese. We do cow tipping, and we toss cow patties till the cows come home.
Oh, my gosh.
You guys have such a stereotype.
In Wisconsin.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, funny. God.
Do you see the curds that I see?
Pam, we get to pick one her Christmas in Wisconsin. Because... Okay, guys, I think I've disrupted the show long enough.
All right.
I think it's enough time.
Roll on down the highway.
All right. Up next, we have I Still Fly by I Love Poems, Salwa. And we have a recording for that. So here we go.
I Love Poems. I still fly, je vole toujours. His selfish bitterness could have continued to make me feel guilty. Maybe would have hurt me again, but like a free bird, I still fly. Why far distance between us still upset you? You may keep swimming in your tide. Why live a life with gloom, 'cause I walked away? Just like high mountains, I'm standing tall, my hopes shining in a azure sky, still fly. Why you still want to see me broken, wings bleeding, tears falling, dreams with soulful cries? Why must ring offend your ego? Never you will dig your offer scream, my backyard of joy again. I laugh and might cry. You may shoot me with your thoughts, you may cut me with memories, but still like a scented rose, will not hate. Why my happiness upset you? It does not come as a surprise. I dance and sing with the birds. My smile have a new life. Out of this cage of shame, I still fly up from a past rooted in pain. I still fly, flying high and far, falling here and there. Life is a struggle I can bear. Nights of terrors and fear will never be forgotten. Happy days still fly with me. Every dawn with wondrous colors. I still fly. Par l'amertume égoïste, aurais pu continuer à me faire sentir coupable. Peut-être m'aurais encore fait mal. Mais quand même aux eaux libres, je vole toujours. Pourquoi la distance entre nous te bouleverse encore? Tu peux continuer à nager dans la marée, pour vivre une vie sombre, parce que je t'ai quitté. Tout haut comme les hautes montagnes, je suis debout, d'espoir, briller dans le ciel azur, je vole toujours. Pourquoi tu veux toujours me voir briser, aile saignante, larmes coulantes, rêve avec tes cris émouvants? Pourquoi ma force au fond de ton égo, jamais tu ne creuseras. ton horrible cri dans ma cour de joie à nouveau. Je vais rire et pleurer. Tu peux me tirer dessus avec tes pensées. Tu peux me couper avec tes souvenirs. Mais toujours, comme une rose parfumée, je ne te détesterai pas. Pourquoi ton bonheur? Mon bonheur te bouleverse. Ce n'est pas une surprise. Je danse et chante avec les oiseaux. Mon sourire a une nouvelle vie. Hors de cette cage de honte, je vole toujours. T'aimes passer enraciné dans la douleur. Je vole toujours. Haut et loin, je tombe ici et là. La vie est une lutte que je peux supporter. Les nuits de terreur et de peur ne seront jamais oubliées. Les jours heureux volent toujours avec moi. Jacob, avec des couleurs merveilleuses. Je vole toujours, je vole toujours, je vole toujours. Indistinct.
Great read, Salwa. Thank you very much to SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Pam, why don't you kick us out?
I think this is just absolutely beautiful. As always, a wonderful read. It fit really well with the song Learning to Fly from Tom Petty. I like the reference to, there was another group it made me think of. Where was that? Where it said a certain line. Well, gosh darn it, I can't. Oh, Free Bird. Yeah, it reminded me of the song when it said, but like a free bird. It reminded me of that song. But I really like the imagery in this and the sense of emotion. I particularly like the part where it says, darn it, I keep losing places. The general vibe I get from this is that, you know, obviously it's about somebody perhaps who's narcissistic and just learning to walk away from that kind of narcissistic and abusive. Oh, I know. This part, you may keep swimming in your tide. Why live a life with gloom? Because I walked away. I like that she used the idea of swimming in your tide, because to me it makes me think of like when you're on a beach and the tide washes in, and then there's those like the little pools, tiny pools, and the certain animals like little crabs and stuff become trapped in our fish. And to me it's the whole idea of somebody who is so narrow-minded, somebody so egotistical that they keep themselves trapped in their own little world, and they want anybody they're in a relationship to be trapped in that same little world, because, you know, God forbid that anybody learn to fly beyond the little the tide pools. So really just a thoughtful write all the way through, and I like how it has that sense of victory and overcoming, and it's very well done.
Wow, thank you very much, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I really like this, very much so. I thought it was an excellent write. I see that, well, I don't know, it looks like there was some Maya Angelou reference in there for a quote, or not a quote, but a prompt further down. And I found that to be interesting. There it is, amazing human being, Maya Angelou. There you go. I thought it was very well done. I loved the lines, out of this cage of shame, I still fly, out from a past rooted in pain. I still fly, flying high and far, falling here and there. Life is a struggle I can bear. I just thought there was many great lines throughout the entire poem, and I thought it was a well done piece. Nice job, Sala.
Excellent. Thank you, Dean. And Martha, how about you?
I thought it was an excellent poem of empowering yourself to break away from a relationship that is destroying you, basically. And I really like the lines, just like high mountains, I am standing tall. My hopes are shining, and azure sky, I still fly.
Thank you, Martha. Yeah, you're right, Martha, and everybody else. It does hit on that note of empowerment, and it does walk on standing up and moving on for yourself rather than the two. You got to meet that thought of, yes, there are better things beyond, and I deserve those things. And it is another one of those very rare pieces where Sawa digs deep and offers up a lot of words to get a point across, which is nice to see, Sawa. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's unusual for her.
Yes. All right, Pam. Our last Petty reference.
All right. Up next we have I'm Falling by Kel Smiles. And Martha, would you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. I'm Falling by Kel Smiles. Can't be helped when walks uneven, slipping and tripping on my knees. An instant to sin. Ouch. Damn, that's another bruise. No handouts to help me up so daisy. Not too easy when I'm getting older. Crisscrossed arms and legs folded. Until then, once again, up and about. To continue on this steadfast onto better places of people's staff. Slipping, sliding, patch of thin ice. Legs slipping up and ass going down. Instant descent. Ouch, damn, that's another bruise. No handouts to help me up so daisy. I'm falling, falling, falling. Grounded. Tricky bits getting back on my feet. Crisscross turn upside down repeat. Can't help free falling on walks uneven. An instant descent. Ouch, damn, that's another bruise. No handouts to help me up so daisy. Inform.
Great read, Martha. Thank you very much. Up to daisy. I haven't heard that in quite a long time. Jean, why don't you kick us off, please?
I think it was a well-written piece. I thought it was clever. I assume that this is based on free-falling. I'm not sure. I mean, that's my guess. And I think that it really did up a lot. You know, but I thought it was really, really nicely done. Actual clever take on the prompts. And, worth a chuckle here and there, you know, ups to daisy. No hand there to give me an ups to daisy. Okay. You know, I mean, I just thought it was, just a well-written little piece. Nice work, Kel. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jean. And Pam, how about you?
I really enjoyed this. I thought Martha did a wonderful read of it. I liked the use of phrasing such as ups a daisy. I think any one of us who is clumsy, and especially when it comes to walking across ice, we have this thing up here we call the Wisconsin shuffle, which is basically how as soon as it becomes wintertime and the ground is frozen, you just fall.
You had to bring the Wisconsin back up, didn't you?
That's right.
Now I'm going to get going on that one again.
Can I say? But I really like how she played with the shaping, like put falling, 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 like, you know, almost like the stairs, and gives the idea of falling down the stairs. As I said, wonderful humor to this, a great layout. I really like the image. Ouch, damn, that's another bruise. No handouts to help me. Ups a daisy. And, you know, that is so freaking true. It's humorous, but on the sad side, it's also very true. Is if you fall, a lot of people will just keep on walking. So just excellent writing, very well done.
Yeah, thank you, Pam. The Wisconsin Shuffle, Grumpy Old Men, Ice Fishing. And
I like Grumpy Old Men.
Martha, you got to read that. What did you think?
I thought it was great. It's funny, but it's serious too, because I had a condition where falling down all the time, and all you can do is just when there's another bruise and get back up again.
I couldn't agree more. I thought the humor in this with the thought of falling down and then dusting your bruised buns off and getting up to do it again and then still doing it again was a nice track in this, because you know what? In most things, you aren't going to get that helping hand up. So you've got to dust your buns off and get back at it, even if you fall once more. All right, Pam. Hour into Christmas songs.
Yes. And up first, we have Final Waltz by Robert Polsky. And Jean, will you go ahead and give that a read for us, please?
I will give it a whirl. Let's see what we got. Final Waltz by Robert Polsky. Christmas Eve, it's midnight, in the home of President's sober house of the town council, his children Clara and Fritz. The music comes alive. Clara sneaks out to check up on her gift, the broken Nutcracker. Nutcracker comes alive. His army defeats the Mouse King, becomes the prince of Sugar Plum Fairy's kingdom. The old woman who lives in a shoe dances with her children, the waltz, followed by a pas de deux. The final waltz, the grand affair of the magical music of the apotheosis, the final tribute to Clara. Celeste joins the harps, ephemeral mood as the dazzling cadenza flourishes. Woodwinds and violins, languorous melody, gracious and brilliant. Brass and winds join in full force, and the curtain falls to the effulgent. Exciting sounds of incomparable romantic ballet grandeur, the grand music of the coda, the final waltz. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. And Martha, why don't you start us off, please?
I thought it was really good. I love the flow. It was almost like it was a ballet in the poem. I really enjoyed it.
Nice touch for that, Martha. Thank you. And Pam, how about you?
I really like this. I think this is a poem that Mindy would probably really enjoy since she's a big fan of the Nutcracker. And what I like about poems like this, because what he does is he tells the story of the Nutcracker, of the ballet and about the music of in the ballet in poetic form. And so it works really well in the idea that anybody who knows the Nutcracker and is a big fan of the ballet and the music is going to appreciate the poem. And anybody who doesn't really know it really reads the poem and go, you know what, I want to know more about this. I want to, you know, go to YouTube and watch this and read about it and learn about it. To me, what I found particularly nice with this one is that he captured the sense of music and movement that goes with a ballet. And so I just found it really just captivating. And, you know, I like that he did, you know, mention some main characters such as the old woman, Clara, and just, you know, just really a wonderful tribute to some beautiful music and dance and very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pam. And Jean, you got to read that. You did a good job with it. What about you? Or do you have a Nutcracker memory?
Well, I thought Robert did a great job. I thought it was clever and well written. I thought it was a nicely penned, poetic, condensed version of the Nutcracker story. I mean, he told enough of the story to spark people's curiosity. And as Pam said, make them want to go and find out more. You know, this is one of those pieces that would have been good with the music of the Nutcracker behind it. Because I think it would have just, I don't know, I think it would have made it magical, you know, to have that. Because that music is so incredible. But I think he did an excellent job with the story. So nice work, Robert. Enjoy it.
Well said, Jean. I couldn't agree with you more. Those first three stanzas do hit on the as a condensed version of the Nutcracker itself. But I like the back end as that noted piece, Celeste joins the harps, ephemeral mood, as some dazzling cadenza flourishes, woodwinds and violins, languorous melody, gracious and brilliant. Brass and winds join in full force, and the curtain falls to the effulgent. Exciting sounds of incomparable romantic ballet grandeur, grand music of the coda, the final waltz. It has that nice touch of not only closing out the piece the way it does with the Nutcracker itself, but closing out the poem was a clever way of doing it this way, with the music as the final note to the piece itself. Nicely done, Robert. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Pam, what you got next? Hey, Gene, is that chair electric?
No, but I think maybe she's afraid too. Yeah. We always have chairs available.
Oh, that's too funny.
Yep. No. It could be if she wants it to be, I guess. We can work it out. Oh, my God.
All right. Up next, we have Do You Smell What I Smell? Just Old Me. And Rex, go ahead, and if you know the tune, sing it for us.
I knew that one was coming.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty much giving you all the parodies. Just so you know.
Do you smell what I smell? Yeah, there's cow patties coming down from Wisconsin. Do you smell what I smell by Just Old Me? Said the night wind to the lamb, do you smell what I smell? Way up in your nose, little lamb, do you smell what I smell? A turd. Wafting all its might, with a scent as dark as midnight, with a scent as dark as midnight, said the lamb to the little shepherd boy, do you smell what I smell? Reeking through the sky, shepherd boy, do you smell what I smell? A cloud thicker than the trees, with a stench as foul as blue cheese, with a stench as foul as blue cheese. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you smell where I've been? In a stable damp, mighty king, do you smell where I've been? A child shivers in the cold. His room smells of feces and mold. Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. Pray for breath, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. The child, unlike a fart, will help our odors depart. Will help our odors depart. All right. I got to take tribute to that one. That was pretty good. All right, ladies, break out your shoes. We're into heavy dung territory here. Do you smell what I smell? Gene, you got the first one.
Gene had to step away.
Okay, then you got it.
Hip waders. I had to get my hip waders.
Oh, okay. She's back.
Yes. Well, I think as a parody, it was well done. I do. Far cry from the original, so I give her kudos on that. And, it was clever. It was definitely a good chuckle. So that was nice. Nothing had it. Kevin, a good old laugh. It was good. Very well done.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Gene. Pam, how about you?
Oh, I really enjoyed this. It had great humor to it. I told him earlier, I said that was an excellent parody, and it was relatable to anyone who has either changed a diaper or at the very least smelled one. And he responded, changed one about 2 hours ago. And so I'm guessing that it's a regular occurrence in his house, and he just really totally related. I think it was a wonderful, parody. And I really particularly like where he says, a cloud thicker than the trees with a stench as foul as blue cheese, And then his room smells of feces and mold. I mean, I don't know if anybody else's kids were like this, but each one of mine always went through a phase, some longer than others, where they insisted on painting the walls and themselves with poop. And I don't think there's a parent out there who hasn't at one point or another been through that. So really just excellent and very well done.
Is that another one of them Wisconsin things where it's too cold to do anything else and you got to paint yourself with your own stuff to keep warm during winter?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that must be it.
Oh, because I heard they used to do that out in the on the steppes in Russia. They'd walk behind the cows in winter. They stick their feet in the fresh piles just to get them warmed up again.
That would not surprise me. That would not. I mean, they are nice. I'm sure. Well, I've heard anyways. They're nice, warm. It makes sense that they are. I've never tried it myself.
Yeah, that brings.
Keep that in the back of your mind, Sam. You never know.
All right. Martha, what do you think?
Well, I thought it was great. It was really funny, and it was interesting. And I love the way you could just sing it right through the song and match it perfectly. Did a really good job.
Yes, he did. He did a great parody with this and had a lot of fun with it because he kind of hinted on the fact that too often this story is glamorized as a convenient manger with fresh hay. But I picture a humble beginning, which is probably a little bit more accurate to the fact that, yeah, it probably was very aromatic back in that day because it didn't get shoveled all that often until it was necessary. Nicely done there, Just. This was a lot of fun and a howl of a piece. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, now that we're out of the Wisconsin wilds. What we got next?
All right. Up next we have Christmas at Sea by Randy G. And it goes like this. A sailor's life is lonely despite always being on the move. Far from home and family, that's why Mom so disapproved. She said, why can't you be a butcher and stay here at home instead of a bloomin' sailor always wandering on the roam? These thoughts most common when sailing in December, and me Christmases as a lad are pleasantly remembered. They now seem so far away, a distant time, a different place, as I now stand watch the bitter cold wind bitten at my face, thinking of how warm me Mom and Dad are sitting by the fire. She's wrapping gifts, he adds a spot awry before they retire, besting for the morrow when me siblings they will receive, me with frozen tears upon me cheeks this Christmas Eve. Such is the life of a sailor, the harsh way of life I've chosen. It always seems much worse when I'm all alone, frozen. But soon we'll be back in port, Mom happy, it's home I am, saying, I still fancy you a butcher. That much hasn't changed. End poem.
Great read, Pam. I know that wasn't an easy one. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I should have given that one to you.
See what happens when you say I'm getting all the parodies? You get a good one for yourself. Martha, why don't you kick us off, please?
I really liked it. It started out like it was going to be sad, and it was, but then it had a happy ending, and I thought it was really good, really well done.
Thank you, Martha. And Jean, I heard you giggling back there.
Well, I did. I giggled at the Esther words, not quite the poem. I think the poem was well done. I think it was there's a great story to it, and I love how he used the. I was on mute for a second. I was like, oh damn. You know, I like the fact that he was dropping letters to make it sound more authentic or original. And I know it was catching Pam off guard because, wait a minute, what's it supposed to be? But you did a great job with it, Pam. I mean, after the first couple, you were like, yeah, I got it now, I got it. You know, because it would have stopped me in my tracks too, like, what am I supposed to say here? But it was well done, and it really did come off as very, you know, authentic in language. And I think that was part of what I liked about it the most. So nice job, Randy, and I enjoyed the story, and pretty clever. And he should have been a butcher. It's much safer.
Yeah, there's a little bit of warmth in meat coming in the door before it gets chilled.
Right.
And you got some of that and did quite well. You bit on that one spot, you looked at it, and I said, oh, yeah, that's not going to come out pretty. She's not going to like that one. All right, what'd you think?
Oh, I enjoyed it. And, you know, I actually should have remembered that it was supposed to be read with talk accent because, you know, this wasn't one of our shows last year, and it won a bronze. And I did mention to him that I really enjoyed how he dropped the H's to have the mm-hmm. holiday accent, not the holiday, but the Cockney accent. And I like how, you know, it was dark, but it wasn't too dark. Like, it caught up to the whole idea of the loneliness that happens when you're out at sea and away from family for Christmas. But I also liked how in the end lines there was this, like as Martha mentioned, it was kind of a happy ending, but it wasn't just that it was a happy ending. There was kind of a bit of humor to it, too, that I really enjoyed because, you know, I think any mother who has a child who makes a decision to go into a dangerous line of work, you know, will just keep saying to them over and over again, I still wish you would have been a butcher. You know, so mm-hmm. just really a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Jan. You're right. The language was fitting for this because it isn't so much that the H's are left off on purpose. It's the it's where they're from, and that's how it's pronounced. Just like Al. It's, how you doing, mate? Oh, and on that, and then this one that I, when you came to it and you looked at it and you was, oh, you dropped for a minute, and he has a spot of rye. That's he has a spot of rye.
I did not drop for a minute. You're exaggerating.
No, you didn't drop. I didn't mean that. You hesitated for a second, like, oh, yeah. What am I supposed to do with that? But it's deliberate in the language and how it's pronounced. Just like when you go up to Boston, the park, the car, and the yard, so to speak. It has that very. It's very distinct. Just like when there are some places in England where TH, if you listen to it, it comes across as 42. Say, if you say 42, it comes across as 42, just in the pronunciation.
Cool. Well said there, Rex. Yeah.
It keeps you paying attention. Otherwise, you're confused as bloody hell.
Yeah.
All right.
Up next, we have Martha's poem, and we have a SoundCloud for you, Martha. So I'm going to go ahead and play that. So let me find that. Here we go.
You, me, for Christmas. Baby, I want to give you me for Christmas. Underneath that Christmas tree, all the stars would be shining brightly if I could give you me for Christmas. There's a Christmas tree out in the hall, and it's standing sparkly and tall. There's an angel sitting on the top. When I look at it, I have just one thought. Baby, I want to give you me for Christmas. Underneath that Christmas tree, all the stars would be shining brightly if I could give you me for Christmas. The Christmas hop is playing in my mind, and you're the only thought I can find. Baby, do you have a kiss or two
'cause I've saved about a million for you. Baby, I want to give you me for Christmas underneath that Christmas tree. All the stars would be shining brightly if I could give you me for Christmas. Babe, on this wondrous time of year, all my heart wants is to have you near. My Christmas wishes would all come true if for Christmas you'd give me you.
Great read, Martha. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It's greatly appreciated. And Pam, you get to kick us off.
Yeah, greatly, like you said, greatly appreciate the SoundCloud. To me, you know, it was like I mentioned before that this really has the feeling to me of what a joy it is when it comes to kissing underneath the mistletoe of both giving and receiving. I thought this was a really delightful song that mixed romance and Christmas together. I really like Baby, I Want to Give You Me for Christmas underneath that Christmas tree. All the stars would be shining bright, you see, if I could give you me for Christmas. I like how she did the turnabout on that at the end line. On a less romantic note, it reminds me of this meme that I saw that says, I'm going to lay underneath the Christmas tree and remind my family I'm a gift. That's my plan.
Yeah, and oh, yeah, you're such a gift. We'll leave you there unwrapped.
Knowing my family, probably. Well, wait, no, because they wouldn't want to cook Christmas dinner, so they'd unwrap.
On the one gift left there, it says, yeah, I'm under all this wrapping.
Right? Until they needed something cooked, or one of their electronics needed replaced or whatever, you know, then they'd eventually unwrap me. But I thought this was just really a wonderful song about the romance of Christmas. And so very well done, Martha.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you? Are you mutating?
She is, actually. She is on mute.
Yes, I was. And I'm sorry. I thought it was a nice job, Martha. I said quite an encore presentation. I enjoyed, and I think the chorus was great. So nice work.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jean. I got it was that third stanza, the Christmas hawk is playing in my mind. Kind of going back a few years to when sock hops were the thing for schools and the local joints, so to speak, to have fun, bring people together. You brought this out as a song to be sent because you offered up you as the Christmas gift being offered. But then again, like Pam said, in that last line, you turned it around. If for Christmas you give me you. So there's that that return gift in mind. Come on over.
Yep.
Nicely done there, Martha. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, Pam.
All right. Before we move on to the next one, I'd like to welcome Faziana to the show. Welcome, Fazi. Mm-hmm. Glad you could join us.
Hello.
Thank you, Pam.
Fazi.
Hello, everyone.
How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. And I liked that Martha's song was about giving. It made me think of the All I Want for Christmas is You, but instead of, you know, demanding of the other person, it's providing for them. So I thought it was a nice kind of twist on that type of song.
Nicely said there, baby. Thank you.
I have to say, Daisy, I'm thinking that Rex is really happy that you showed up because I was going to make him sing I want a Viking warrior for Yuletide.
Yeah, I don't think I could have pulled that one off.
I think you'd do it better than me, actually. You're pretty good at that.
But up next we have No Winter is a Winner by Marvin Goldfarb. And Gene, will you give that a read for us, please?
Well, I can give it a try. This is No Winter is a Winner by Marvin Goldfarb. The snow and ice ain't so very nice. The cold is bold. But when I visited Israel in 1970, it was February and it was 70. How heavenly is 70 in 1970? End the poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. Nice touch of humor in that one. I like that. Basie, why don't you kick us off, please?
It does have a fun little sense of humor in there. No winter is a winter. I suppose if you want to go somewhere hot for Christmas, then that is the way to go. And it's fun how he used 70 multiple times. Because I use a different scale of temperature, I was like, 70, wow. But yeah, is really good.
Absolutely. When you can drop 70 degrees on somebody in February while everybody else is cold, you know you've got a good day going. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I think, you know, Marvin has something he does well, and I like that he knows that, his brevities, he gets straight to the point. Though I do have to agree with him. Sometimes winter just gets a little too cold. And, you know, to me, this I like how, though, that he talks about how winters that are nice and ones that are not so nice. 70 sounds perfect to me, but to me what sounds even better than the temperature is like taking a visit to Israel. That is actually something I would really like to do. So I am actually quite envious that Marvin has had the opportunity to go and visit Israel. That's like one of my dream things that I'd like to eventually do. So excellent write and very well done. Well,
that was the temperature was the icing on the cake. He got to go. It was February. It's normally cold for him, plus it was nice weather. So double the dip in the icing, so to speak.
Absolutely.
And Martha, how about you?
Martha had to go.
Oh, okay. Cool. All right. So where do we go next then?
All right. Let's see here.
We're gonna punish Aphasiana right up front, or we're gonna give her a couple minutes.
Oh well, I'm not gonna punish her too hard. You know, I am gonna make her read a poem, but I'm not gonna make her sing yet.
All right,
yeah,
let her
perhaps warm up a bit.
Right, exactly. This up next we have Green Christmas. By Old Sarge, and Faviana, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Green Christmas by Old Sarge. I'm dreaming of a green Christmas without all the snow and slop and ice, where my day will be merry without having a canary from shoveling snow that never stops. I'm dreaming of a green Christmas where it's not 40 below. I don't need a mountain of snow or a jolly ho-ho-ho to worship Jesus Christ the King. End poem.
Great read, Basie. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what you got?
I really enjoy this, and you know what? I have to agree. Well, first of all, you know, I there are times when I look out at newly fallen snow you know, it looks absolutely beautiful to me, but it doesn't take long before I get really tired of winter. And I start thinking about the couple years that I lived in Austin, Texas, where winters weren't nearly as cold and I could actually walk places, you know, And, you know, so I thought this was a wonderful brevity. And like I said, it sounded like a wonderful dream to me. So he responded with, it will be 80 here on the 25th, so I get my desire. So kudos to him. I went... But on a spiritual note, the ending line where it says, I don't need a mountain of snow or jolly ho-ho-ho to worship Jesus Christ the King. And for whatever reason you celebrate Christmas, whether it's because you celebrate the birth of Jesus at that time or because you simply celebrate love and family and friends and togetherness, you know, or the spirit of Christmas. You don't need a certain kind of weather. You don't need to have snow falling. It just really reminds us that Christmas is about something that's inside us, something that we create, rather than what the weather creates. So I thought that was an important message and very well done.
Well, thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Well, Jean's a little slow on this one, but I thought it was a great poem. And, you know, I'm with Pam. I said, great job. Snow is awesome in pictures. And Jesus is the reason for the season. But that's a personal choice for everyone, you know, what they think the reason for the season is. You know, even if it's you just, you know, like winter, like the cold, you know, as opposed to the heat. But everyone you know, has their own choices. But I thought it was a well-done brevity. And, yeah, I think that old Sarge did a great job. So, you know.
Wow, thank you very much, Dean. And, Faisy, yep. You got to read it. How about you?
Well, you know, now I regret not singing it. As I was reading it, I was like, oh, this is totally to the tune of White Christmas. Why did I not do it? But it took me a minute to realize that what I should have been doing. I thought it worked really nicely as a different version of White Christmas, and the shoveling snow that never stops is definitely the feeling that I'm getting lately. So without having a coronary was kind of a funny but sadly true comment. And, you know, I like that it talks about, you know, the snow not being necessary to Christmas. I mean, personally, I like a white Christmas, but, you know, if you have your family and what matters to you, then you don't necessarily need that snow. So the kind of dream of a white Christmas isn't for everyone, although it is for me. I think that he did a really nice job at this. I was going to say parody, but it's not quite a parody. Is there a way of saying parody that it's not actually like a making fun of it way? I feel like there's another word for it that I should be using.
A rewrite.
Yes.
And you're right. He did a great job with this, and all I could think of was Bing Crosby. Now, this would have been a perfect note for his voice. I'm dreaming of a green Christmas without all the snow and slopping ice, where my day will be merry without having a coronary from shoveling snow that never stops. Plus, a little bit of humor in this would work well for something that Bing would offer up. So I did a great job, Sars. I like this. All right, Pam. We're coming back your way.
All right. Up next, we have Rudolph the Splattered Reindeer by T. Perry 898. And guess who's singing that, Rex?
Oh, I'm getting this one. I know it. Let's see. All right. Rudolph, the Spattered Reindeer. Donna, Blitzen were both speechless when they heard the sonic blast. Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid were aghast. While poor Santa, he was shell-shocked by the shadow it would cast. Rudolph the Spattered Reindeer had a big calamity. Now he's in bits and pieces. Had a run in with E.T. Seems all the other reindeer are now gripped in sad dismay. Nicholas is complaining that he had the right of way. On that fog-filled Christmas night in the atmosphere, heard a bang and saw a flash, a spaceship did appear. E.T. was booked for murder, and the jury did agree. What happened to the presents is another mystery. On that fog-filled Christmas night in the atmosphere, heard a bang and saw a flash, a spaceship did appear. With such a horror story, and I'm sure you will agree, Rudolph the Splattered Reindeer will go down in his story. And parody. Nicely done, T. That was cool. All right, gang. What do you think of Rudolph the Splattered Reindeer? Faisy, why don't we start with you?
I love it. First of all, you did an amazing job at singing that, so props to you, Rex. And I think T. Perry did a great job at this parody. He made it, the right cadence and perfect length of the lines to fit the song, the original song. And he made it really funny. It was kind of like a cross between Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Which my grandmother hates that song so much. Whenever it comes on, she like freaks out. I really like that, and it played on like the fog filled Christmas night, which makes sense. You know, that's when there's going to be the accidents, and it was really fun that it was E.T. who they ran into, and that it was considered murder, like not just an accident, but murder. This was great. I love the way that he spaced out "We'll go down in history" too, because it really showed you how to say it, or how to sing it rather. This was very well done.
Thank you, Faisy. All right, Pam, coming your way. Reindeer.
Oh, I enjoyed this. First of all, you did do an excellent read of it, Rex. And again, T. Perry's one of those who's just really great with the parodies. I like how Faisiana mentioned that it was that kind of like a mashup, a cross between Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer. I thought that was really cool. I always enjoy dark, twisted humor. I really like how this all became about. I liked E.T. was booked for murder, and the jury did agree. What happened to the presents is another mystery. Last night, I actually volunteered to sing a parody on Gray's show, which was a parody of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So, which it happens very rarely, but I thought, what the heck? But tonight I'm not volunteering at all. I will have to be paid.
It'll be fun. Yeah.
Thank you, Pam. All right, Jean, how about you?
I thought it was funny. I really did. I thought that T. Perry did a great job with this. It was comical. It was, it was spot on, from what I could tell, it was spot on for the rhyme and meter. It was a nice job. It was fun. It was something I was going to pinpoint, but, I'm not that on it today. The poor Rudolph. That's what I
thank
got
you, gang. T. Perry was definitely on it with the parody angle of it, but I like the opening. Kind of gives you a little bit of thought going into with the rest, not leaving out the rest of the cast, the rest of the reindeer and Santa itself, then actually hitting into the story. I got a kick out of the thought with we got UFOs in the air and E.T. is guilty of murder. So he actually knew someone was going to be sitting in his path. But then again, if you got a spaceship, you should know where you're landing in the moment and know if there's something there. So you know what? E.T., sorry, mate. You're going down. All right, Pam.
Absolutely. All right. Up next, we have Dark Christmas by Betty Page. and it goes like this. I'll have a dark Christmas without you. I'll be so dark, just missing loving you. Decorations of gold on a bare Christmas tree won't be the same if you're not here with me. And when those cold snowflakes start falling, that's when those love memories start coming. They'll be doing all right with their Christmases of light, but I'll have a dark, 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 dark Christmas. I'll have a dark Christmas all alone again, and when my dark heart starts to bleed out, they'll be doing all right with their Christmas of light, but I'll have a dark, dark, black, and blue Christmas. They'll all be doing all right with their Christmas of light, but I'll have a dark, 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 dark Christmas. I'll have a dark Christmas without you. I'll be so dark, just missing loving you. Decorations of gold on a bare Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. And when those cold snowflakes start falling, that's when those love memories start coming. They'll be doing all right with their Christmas of light, but I'll have a dark, deep, deep, dark Christmas. Oh, but I'll have a dark, darkest, dark Christmas. And poem.
It is him. And boy, that's very different from Betty.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Gene, how about we start with you, please?
You know, I thought that Betty did a great job with the parody to Blue Christmas. You know, I mean, I think that she... it's kind of hard for me. I have to like sit and try and sing it, but I think she hit all the notes. Pammy did a great job with that because, you know, sometimes it's not easy for me to read something that mirrors a song, you know, that sounds, because I'm trying to read it and trying to get it in my head the way it's supposed to sound. At the same time, I know I'm a little weird. I get it. I know it. But I think Betty did a good job.
Oh, I get that. I mean, different from Betty, the setup moment, she's really short and concise in her lines and three liners of that she gave us a different look at something, which was, wow, okay, something different. I like that. Stacey, how about you?
I was trying to remember more of the original song because I knew it was a Blue Christmas, but I don't know that song very well, so I was trying to figure out, like, how much she changed and how much kind of reflects the original song. So I'm not a great judge because I don't know the original song very well, but I enjoyed this. It was, you know, definitely dark, and not just in its repetition of the word dark, with the heart bleeding out. I like decorations of gold on a bare Christmas tree. There's something really important about that tree being bare. It's lost its needles. It's you know, doesn't have all the ornaments that it normally would. It's just it's empty looking without this person, and that's how they feel. So I thought that was a good metaphorical moment of that bare tree.
Excellent. Thank you, Faithy. And Pam, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, I thought this was just absolutely beautifully written. And I like how she took the idea of the Blue Christmas from Elvis and went deeper and darker with it. It's really difficult at times to read repetitive words like dark, dark, dark. I tend to want to just get through them really fast, which I probably should actually work on slowing them down. I really like the imagery in this and how there's within these lines, they'll be doing all right with their Christmas of light, but I'll have a dark, dark, black and blue Christmas. You know, and within those lines that repeat themselves, there's a very lyrical quality to them. Plus, it makes me think about how, whether it's because you're going through a hard time or you just suffered like from, you know, depression or whatever, when you're feeling depressed during the holidays, when the holidays aren't a happy time for you, you feel kind of like this wall between you and other people. Like there's the them and there's the you, and you're the one that feels like, you know, there's nothing can be enjoyed. So I thought this was just a really wonderful, dark, emotive, bright, and very well done.
Nicely said, ladies. Thank you very much. Betty, well, I did like the fact that Betty took a different tack with this, but she stuck with the song. The repeats where it would be the blue, 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 blue Christmas that Elvis would blow would shout out. But she kept with the thought, but went took it a little darker and a little deeper. My heart starts to bleed out. There's a real heavy note of not just the darkness itself, but maybe depression in the moment, because they'll be doing all right with their Christmas of lights, while I'll be hanging in the black and blue Christmas. So the black and blue Christmas kind of hits on that note of abuse too. So kind of it is a little on the darker side, but I like the format Betty used and went following the song closely to emit this piece itself. I like that. Nicely done, Betty. Thank you. All right, Pam.
All right, Daisy. I put your poem up. Go ahead and give it a sing for us.
Okay, so this is supposed to be like I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas, but I made it a Viking warrior. I want a Viking warrior for Yuletide. Only a Viking warrior will do. No cavaliers or knights in shining armor. I only like Viking warriors, and Viking warriors like me too. I can see him now on distant shores, rowing in his ship. Oh, what sword and what Dane axe to see my village taken unaware. I want a Viking warrior for Yuletide. Only a Viking warrior will do. No ladies-in-waiting or fancy musketeers. I want a Viking warrior to play with and enjoy. I can see him now on the fjord rowing, painted shield in hand. Oh, what joy and what surprise to see my big Norse hero standing there. We've got meat in our feast hall. I'll feed him there and watch him there and give him a massage. I want a Viking warrior for Yuletide. Only a Viking warrior will do. No Anglo-Saxons or tiny Englishmen. I want a big, strong Viking to play with and enjoy. I want a Viking warrior for Yuletide. Viking warriors are all I want, and Viking warriors like me too. And poem.
Great read, Faisy. Thank you very much. All right, Pam. You said this is a great piece. Now, you were right.
Oh, my goodness. I enjoyed this so much. I meant to actually, when I heard this last year, I meant to put it on a list, but forgot to, so I made sure this time to put it on my amazing rights list. I have to say, I want a Viking warrior for Yuletide, too. Dang. Is there, like, a certain store you get them at or something? Or?
I have a bunch of friends I could introduce you to because my husband's in a reenactment group. I'm surrounded by Viking men.
Oh, that's... No, this is great. And, you know, I like the original song the I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. And I have to say, to me, one of the best things that people can do when they write a parody and plan on singing it, either by a recording or calling into a show, is find a song that fits their voice. And you have a higher octave voice. I'm just making a general observation about your singing voice, is you can hit some of those higher notes. So this is like a perfect parody for you. I really like the humor in this. I like that you changed Christmas to Yuletide because I felt that really fit really a lot well more with the theme. I did like, I want a Viking warrior for Yuletide. Only a Viking warrior will do. No Anglo-Saxons or tiny Englishmen. I want a big, strong Viking to play with and enjoy. So absolutely just a fun, clever parody and very well done.
Nice, Pam. Thank you. And Jean, how about you? But you got to unmute yourself first.
That always helps.
Now that you've uttered out a great thought.
Yeah, of course, and I don't think I'll get it back now, do you?
Nah, it doesn't work that way.
Right, exactly. I'm lucky if I can do that. But Ephesian, I think you really did a great job with this. I muted myself because I started to chuckle and I didn't want to laugh my way all through it, you know. I just thought it was funny. It was well done. It was a clever take on the original. And, yeah, I thought it was just a wonderful parody. So, you know, great job. And thanks for the smile. It really made me laugh. Nice work.
I'll second that one. I'll roll on that thought, too. Because I thought, especially when you hit what was it? What sword and what Dane axe to see my village taken unaware. Oh, this is an almost gleeful note. Yeah, I want that Viking warrior. And then you dropped it in. I want a Viking warrior to play with and enjoy. Then the thought again to see my big Norse hero standing there. And I like this one here. We've got mead in our feast hall. I'll feed him there and watch him there and give him a massage. Why is such a happy, gleeful note in the tone that you know you're getting pillaged and burned to the ground? But yeah, I want him. I want him. I want him. Oh, I like the bite and the humor in this. It's really good, Faisy. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Rex's comment had me just cracking up. Yeah.
All right. What we got next?
All right. Up next, we have Merry, Merry Christmas by Naomi Sarah. And we have a SoundCloud for that. So let me go ahead. And here we go.
Merry, Merry Christmas. Happy Christmas, Pam. Happy Christmas, Rex. Happy Christmas to all my poet friends. I wish you all blessings of tons and tons. Another year over, another on AP just begun. And so this is Christmas. I hope you have fun and that all things are ready, that you'll drink, dance, and be merry. Oh, a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Hold your loved ones near. Hug them tight and kiss them. Try not to shed too many tears. And so this is Christmas. Last year was so, so long. Wish COVID was over. Oh, hell, don't we wish it all. For each and every one, because, oh, yes, the year was long. Wish COVID was over, right? And so happy Christmas. And hang on to hope tight. Want COVID to be over, so tired of the fight. Wish it for each and everyone, banish, kabong, kaboom, far out of sight. Oh, damn COVID, please be over. A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let's hope it's a good one without any fear. And so this is Christmas, and we want rainbows and shiny, bright new sun. Want COVID over, oh hell yes, how we want it. Another year over, new one just begun. Okay, no more talk of stupid COVID, I'm so done. Until this is Christmas, I hope you have fun. So just be merry and appreciate it. Look towards brand new horizons. Drink, dance, and sing with family all around. Dive into that turkey and just gobble it all round. A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let's hope it's a good one. And all are healthy, and there is no more fear. Oh yes, we shall all see bright, shiny, brand new, and turn over a new leaf. So to all you on AP, happy Christmas. Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas. We are family, each and all of us. So pens out, ready, go, shoot. Next year will be a writing hoot. We will aim for the sky, our ink will soar high, and through our words we'll all fly, oh, higher and higher. Oh, merry, merry Christmas and a happy new year to you all. With pens mighty and strong, let's write stories and poems and songs. Oh, yes, our minds merrily creating. Happy writing to you all.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. Woo-hoo. All right, Pam, don't kick it. It's you first.
You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. I really enjoyed this. It was...
Come on
But, you know, this was filled with such holiday heart. You know, I just have to say, you know, happy Christmas back to her. Happy holidays. You know, they had this little bit of a dark part where it mentions wishing COVID was over, but even that was handled with like some, like a little bit of humor, humor vanished, kaboom, kabong, kaboom, far out of sight, oh damn COVID, please be over. But what I really mostly felt from this was this wonderful sense of joy and togetherness and finding a poetic family. I also really, it made me smile and chuckle a bit when she said, drink, dance, and sing with family all around. Dive into that turkey and just gobble it all around. That was wonderful wordplay, great humor. And like I said, this is one of those writes that makes you smile because it's just, it's completely... it's filled with heart, and it reminds us to kind of just cherish each other and cherish the fact that we have those creative minds that can pen. You know, so wonderful, right? Very well done.
Well, she said, Pam, thank you very much. And Faisy, how about you?
I liked it. I like that she put the music in the background, too. To show us which song she was going to, you know, I meant to do that in my recording, and I was bad and didn't finish it. But I'm really happy that she did that. And I think the original version, again, I'm so out of touch with music. I think it talked about kind of like war and wishing the war was over and moving on from that, right?
Yes.
So COVID has sort of been our war this last little while, and she brought a contemporary twist to it, but it's getting over those hard times and sticking together. So I thought it was a really good fit for this rewrite. And I love at the end when she's talking about the writing, so pens out and ready to go, shoot, and our ink will soar high. There's such hope and the sense of community and recognizing the family that is AP, like Pam said. So I thought that this was a very heartening piece, and I really enjoyed it.
Excellent. Thank you, Faisy. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I think Naomi did a good job with the parody of this. And yeah, I think we're all bad, you know, fed up with COVID, and we all want it to go away. And I think she verbalized that well in this. I did like how she started out with that, you know, happy Christmas, Pam, happy Christmas, Rex. I thought that was a warm way for her to, you know, start this off and relate it to the people close to her. And I did. I really enjoyed it. And so great job, Naomi. And, happy Christmas. You know, wonderful holiday
for
you, everybody.
Definitely happy Christmas. And I think I got one word for this. Camaraderie. Walking into the new year, with a sense of steely-eyed purpose and the strength that comes from with that. Nicely done, Naomi. Thank you very much. All right, Pam. Mm-hmm. What you got next?
All right. Before we move on to the next one, I'd like to first of all ask, does Chris have a poem on the board or in the contest? Because I'm looking up and down and I don't see one.
No.
Okay.
But he's got one for Tuesday.
Ah, that must be it. Well, I'd like to welcome Chris to the show. Welcome, Chris.
Hi,
glad you could join us. Yeah, and so I think... What's that?
I think I must have entered it in the wrong contest, but can I read it today? Because obviously I'm not about Tuesday.
Yes, you wrote a poem for Tuesday's After Midnight show. So you don't have one for tonight, but you're more than welcome just to hang out and read and comment with us for the last 20 minutes.
Can I read my poem I'd have been on Tuesday? Because I can't phone in Tuesday.
Oh, yes. That should be fine. Right, Rex?
Yeah.
All right, very cool. Well, before we get to yours, though, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put up a Christmas song by Victoria Frost, and we have a SoundCloud for that. So I'm going to go ahead and push play as soon as I find it. There we go.
Christmas time has come again at last.
Victoria, thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. Let's get you some comments. Chris, why don't we start with you? What did you think of that?
I say, well, that beautiful delivery. Well sung. Beautiful music. And I say, the parents, their cheeks all aglow, will fumble for a Christmas night. It's a beautiful ride. I say, she sang it beautifully as well. Really well done. I loved it. Very good.
Excellent. Thank you, Chris. Pam, how about you?
I really enjoyed this. You can tell Victoria studied music in college and that it was has always been part of her life. She really has a gift for it. And this was such a spot-on parody. And what I liked about this is that, like most parodies, it had the humor, especially in the idea of, you know, trying to, you know, having too much to drink, celebrating, and trying to stay quiet so the baby doesn't wake up. Wonderful, relatable humor. But she kept such a nice, serious tone all the way through the sing that if you weren't looking at the words, you know, you'd almost be just very easily thrown off. And I think that added to the charm of it. And I really like, they know that Santa's on his way. He'll bring them all the toys and goodies on his sleigh, and every mother's going to have to try to keep the sound down just in case the baby cries. And then the following stanza about could be 10 proof or 2. So just a wonderful parody, beautifully performed and very well done.
Well, thank you, Pam. And Daisy, how about you?
I love Victoria's voice. I've had some music contests recently, and she's been entering them, and just I'm always blown away by her audios. I like the same part that Pam pointed out, where the mothers have to try to keep it down to not wake up the babies. I think that there's some really clever humor in here that a lot of parents will connect with, and I'm not even a parent, and I'm giggling at it. I think that this is a really clever version of the song, and she sang it so beautifully.
Nice. Thank you, Faisy. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I have to agree with everybody, but I have to tell you, I was not reading the words at first. And when we got through the whole first stanza, I was like, wait a minute. I looked over at the words, and I'm going, okay. So I was totally confused because it sounded just like the song to me. Because, you know, you get locked into where you hear the tune and you hear a voice, and it was spot on, and it was wonderful. I did have to laugh at myself, though, for being, like, so out there. Like, hello. Yeah, I didn't even realize she was joking at first. And I'm like, wow. So she did an amazing job. I give her that. Absolutely.
Great comments, everybody. And you're right. Did a great job. That first stanza, I got a kick out of the spiced Merlot. And with their cheeks all aglow, can they hint somewhere this one's going? And with and that thought, we've all had too much to drink. Could be a 10 proof or a 2. So on this day, I'll bid you farewell. Merry Christmas to you. Nicely done. I like that repeat stanza. There's a nice little warm afterglow into the touch that, yeah, that spiced Merlot really loosened things up a bit.
Yeah, she did a great job.
All right. All right, Chris.
All right.
I got. Oh, yes.
I was going to say. Okay, because, yeah, I had dropped it like 3 minutes ago or something like that.
Well, okay.
But hey, that works. Now it's double the fun. All right, Chris, your poem is up.
Okay, lovely, thank you. Poems 9, a post-it Christmas. Once it was mainly cards, then along came generational change, and the mixed monster of the internet, which spawns many a thousand packets. Once I had bundles of cards, all handwritten, many a wrong address.
Nice guy.
Great read, Chris. Thank you very much.
Thank you for letting me be there.
Oh, I'm glad you called in. Faizy, why don't we start with you, please?
I think this is great, and, you know, I like the title, A Postie at Christmas. I like that it talks about the generational change and how the things that you deliver have definitely changed, people ordering things online, and the things that go in the mail are different, and I think maybe even more so, like, with COVID stuff of, I don't really want to go in busy stores right now. And I think that the mail has definitely adapted how things are. I like the a day I always wear my Christmas jumper and see many a relief. And it's like, oh, it's over, the crazy rush. This is really sweet. I like it.
Thank you so much.
Nicely said, Faizy. Pam, how about you?
Oh, I very much enjoyed this. And I see you wrote to the prompt, mail your packages early so the post office can lose them in time for Christmas. That's a great choice to write to. I used to really enjoy Johnny Cash when I'd stay up late and watch him with my grandfather. And you really caught the whole sense of the chaotic humor. It's the chaos that you go through during the holiday times that you just look back at, relax on, you know, laugh at. I like that you bring Amazon in here. Now I have a van with packets. Amazon has eclipsed Lapland. Santa can no longer get the packets down the chimney. He leaves them at the front door instead. I thought that was a wonderful sense of humor to it. And I also really appreciate that in the end you put in that line, and a Merry Christmas to all at LNP. A message this postie has delivered in time for Christmas. And I have to say Merry Christmas back to you and yours, and then thank you so much, and just a wonderful, fun write.
Thank you very much, Pam.
I see, said Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I really enjoyed this, Chris. And it's Merry Christmas to you and yours as well. I think that...
Thank you so much.
It was a well-written piece, and I enjoyed it. And I love the changes. The change noted, you know, Santa can no longer get the packets down the chimney. He leaves them at the front door instead. It's so true. Life has just evolved in my 59 years. How things have changed is pretty amazing. So nicely done.
Thank you so much, Jean. Merry Christmas to your family.
Thank you.
Great comments, everybody. All right, Chris. I got to start with that first one, and the mixed monster of the internet, which spawns many a thousand packet. That kind of hits me with the note of getting spammed by anybody and everybody. There really has no Christmas good wishes in it except just to send you shit. And then that second stanza, you hit on that note to a younger days of youth when you used to write out your cards and you'd take them to each house that you had a card to drop off to. Great thought there, but then you hit on that note again that it's changed so much that a lot of the people you're sending good wishes to you haven't met yet, which is kind of funny. And then I like the thought with the Christmas jumper is you know you hate it, but Mom makes you wear it every Christmas and you do it at a good cheer because she bought it for you and gotta please Mom. I don't like it, but damn, yeah, I can do it one day a year.
Amen.
And I like the back end of this with the Merry Christmas to LNP with that note from the postie because you know what? You did deliver a nice piece for us to enjoy right before Christmas. So thank you very much.
Hey, thank you for letting me read it. I appreciate that.
Oh, my no problem. My pleasure.
Thank you.
All right, Pam. We got time for one or two more.
Yes, yes. A real quick reminder, everyone, please check out the contests and topic boards put up by our hosts and hostesses, especially for Christmas week. Rex has a fun contest he's running for his After Midnight show, and Fill My Eyes has a fun contest she's running for the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. But
oh,
make
yeah,
sure
check
to check out,
that out
all
one.
Contests. Yes, yes, there's a lot of fun going on tonight. I mean, not just tonight. There is fun going on tonight. There's fun going on all week. But up next, we have A King is Born in Bethlehem by Marius Alexandru. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
King is Born in Bethlehem by Marius Alexandru. Hopes are reborn in the new star. In Bethlehem a king is born. We saw its gleam in fields afar. Oh, what a joyous, glorious morn. For many years there was no light. For many years just dark and fear. Our hope was lost in endless night. Light of the world at last is here. It's Christmas time, it's Christmas time. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We feel so peaceful, so sublime. Hallelujah, amen, amen. Emmanuel, God is with us. A baby cry broke all the chains. Emmanuel, God is with us. Our mighty King forever reigns. The Son of God came for the cross. The love came down to make us free. Emmanuel, God is with us. He came to die for you and me. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We feel so peaceful, so sublime. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And poem. Nicely done, Marius. Thank you very much. And Pam, why don't we kick it with you first?
Yeah, I thought this was absolutely beautiful, and you did a wonderful read of it. I can definitely see how it's written as a song. It has a wonderful lyrical quality, a beautiful spiritual rite. I like the repetitiveness of hallelujah, amen, amen, because there's such a joyous feeling to those lines. I really also like, it's Christmas time, it's Christmas time. We feel so peaceful, so sublime. There's a real sense of celebration, a sense of peace and joy. And on a technical level, just really just wonderful rhyme and flow throughout this. You know, it's very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Chris, how about you?
What a wonderful write, a really good write. I mean, my favorite line of the whole poem is a baby cry broke all the chains. I mean, you could build a whole write around that line, I think, but I do love it. Say, like Pam said, it's got a lovely flow, it's got great rhyme throughout. And the second stanza was actually my favorite one of the poems. For many years there was no light, for many years just dark and fear. Our hope was lost in endless night, light of the world at last is here. I mean, I thought...
Excellent. Thank you very much, Chris. Faizy, how about you?
Faizy had to go.
Okay. Chris, Jean?
That's right. It sounds a lot like Chris. I understand. anything. I thought this was a beautiful poem. I really did. And I was trying to figure out, it says here, I wrote this song in English and translated it into Romanian. And I'm like, darn, you know, every other time Marius gives us a sound clip. So then I'm like, okay, so I started looking around, and I thought maybe it was at YouTube, but he doesn't have his name on it, so I'm like lost. And I wish I had heard it, but I think it was just beautifully written. And Marius, fabulous job, but I want more. I want more, more, more. Typical
well
woman.
Well said, Jean. Nice. Thank you very much. Yes, as Jean said, Marius, this is a gorgeous piece, and Chris hit on that note, a baby cry broke all the chains. I thought that was a great line in there itself. And then again, the love came down to make us free as well. And a great piece honoring not only the thoughts, but what is supposed to be shared by all. Nicely done. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, coming back to you.
All right. Well, with only a couple minutes left, do you want to try to fit one more in?
Well, I think we got a couple of shorties.
We do. I have one right here. Missing Piece by Doc Frank and Chris. Would you give that a read for us, please?
I certainly shall. Peace, a life's lease, to the eyes of feast. You are my missing piece, which makes my life complete.
Great read there, Chris. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And quite the, I love that purple rose. That's gorgeous. And I love the fact that you offered up that last line, my love, Clarice, because you kind of hit on that note all the way through to especially missing piece, life complete, heartbeat, and offering up my concerns decrease, my love, Clarice.
Lovely.
Nicely.
Yeah.
Nicely done there, Doc. Thank you very much. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, well, this makes me think of fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't want to go there.
Well, I'm going there. But besides that, I mean, it did have just wonderful rhyme to it. I like the way he shaped it. It has a, you know, the shape reminds me of a rosebud or of a pendant of a necklace. So there's a very romantic feel to even just the shape of the poem. And I really like the line, you do make my heartbeat increase, all secret pent-up fears release. Beautiful lines and very well done.
It also kind of could be a Christmas ornament, too.
Ah, I like that thought.
And Jean, how about you?
Okay. Moth, now that's a plus. I, you know, it also could be like a rosebud, which I think is interesting.
True.
But it was a very nice little piece. It was a beautiful brevity. And, yeah, Pam, I'm with you. Every time I hear the word name Clarice, I go, oh. Every time. It's like just the way it is.
Exactly.
I mean, but, yeah, it was really well done, and I think Doc Frank did an excellent job. And I love that it's a brevity that kind of packs that punch that always makes it great. So, nice job.
Do you still hear the lambs crying, Gladys?
Absolutely.
All right, gang. Great show. Had a lot of fun. This was a blast. And remember, if you didn't hear it tonight, this will continue part two next Sunday to close out Christmas week. And we'll see you all then. And I'll send out a note as to those that remain to be read. Thank you very much, everybody. And we'll see you next Sunday to finish this off.
Great show, Rex.
You.
Great job, Dan.
Good night, everyone. Great show, Rex.
Good night, gang.